It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis with your hosts,
Ashley
and Tracy. Pull up a chair for your seat at the table as we talk about the great rewiring of childhood.
Okay, so this is going to be a really interesting topic, and I kind of want to just talk about this, or to this, I guess, more based on our personal experience and what we're seeing. But I listened to a podcast, Joe Rogan. I know he has some big fans and he has some haters, but he has some really interesting guests and topics that he covers, and one was actually referred to me by my son, who's a big fan. And so I listened to it. He said, this might be a good topic for you to cover. And I was like, I don't know. So I listened to it and I was like, you know what? I think this actually really would be. It talks about, so the guest he had, he wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. His name is Jonathan Haidt. It's H-I-D-T. I hope I didn't slaughter that, because Joe didn't say his last name at the beginning. And so I was like, how am I going to find this? I hope I didn't kill it. But anyway, he wrote this book. He's a professor at NYU. And he wrote this book about the rewiring of childhood. We have an epidemic now of, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit in previous episodes.
Right.
Of young kids experiencing mental health issues such as anxiety and depression and things like that. And while that's always been there, it's increased drastically, especially since the pandemic.
Significantly magnified.
Significantly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was alarming that what the rates were pre-pandemic.
Right.
And then when that happened, it was like the line just shot straight up. And a lot of that, obviously, is because kids were home, they weren't in school, they weren't hanging out with their friends,
right.
They were on social media, and that's kind of when TikTok just blew up. It was already around,
yes,
but it really took off.
Yeah, it just went to the
pandemic.
Next level.
Absolutely.
After that. Yes.
So what they're saying, what he says in this book is that it's very troubling when you look at the difference between how kids are growing up today versus how they did. And obviously, you know, based off research, they're finding that screen time is right. contributing to this, not just social media, but screen time in general.
Yes.
And there are people who are kind of fighting that and saying, hey, you know, I watched too much TV when I was a kid and I'm fine.
Yes.
The difference is that when we were growing up watching too much TV,
right.
air quotes, we were hanging out with our siblings or
right.
our cousins or our friends,
right.
and we were interacting
right.
and we were laughing at things together and talking about what we're watching and arguing about it, whatever it might
and
be.
And maybe even watching Sesame Street or Dora. Remember right. Dora the Explorer? My right. kids grew up on Dora and Diego.
Yeah.
Because it was educational. They exactly. were trying to come up with educational things. So you didn't feel so bad about sitting your child, a young and, child, in front of the television.
Yeah, but even then, like, kids and, you know, teenage kids that are watching, you know, sitcoms or anything like that.
Right.
Typically, there's a moral.
Yes.
To the whole, you know.
We used to have family nights and watch, like, American Idol when it first came out and different things, but it was definitely a family thing. Mm-hmm. And Pretty Little Liars when the kids were young.
Right, yeah.
You know, and those types of programming.
Right.
But we would all watch together.
And you would interact.
And talk about it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the difference. Now, if you look at a room full of, you know, teenagers or preteens or whatever it might be, they're all on their phones and they're not talking.
No.
They're just looking at their phones.
Yes.
So there's no social interaction, even if they're in the same room.
No human interaction pretty much at all.
Right.
Which is
alarming. Yeah, typically they're alone.
Yeah.
You know, at home in their room or whatever. But even if they're with their friends.
Yeah.
They're not talking while they're looking at all this stuff that's, you know, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or whatever it might be. And they're finding that it really is causing a lot of issues with the kids. Myself, but it was just very interesting to find how disturbing it is. I mean, you know, like I said, we've touched on this before and we know, we recognize that it's a problem.
Right. And we were, but, I think, fortunate enough that our children had grown up before the huge explosion of
that. Yeah, definitely.
You know, they were kind of tipped their toes in it, you know, with maybe some Snapchat here and Facebook. But my children who are now, you know, grown and adults don't necessarily spend a lot of time on social media.
Yeah.
I think the biggest one perhaps would be YouTube, but I think we're all, you know, kind of guilty of that.
Yeah.
But, but for the social, and also on top of that, whatever the psychological ramifications of the screen time is, there's also the ramifications of putting yourself out there and open to so much. There's all that cyberbullying and
well,
and not even if you don't get bullied, but how many likes you get.
Exactly. The whole, I think that a lot of kids are, that their confidence is based on the attention that they're getting on there. And I've mentioned before, when my kids were in high school, they would post something on Instagram, and if they didn't get so many likes within the first 2 minutes, they would delete the post.
Yes.
It was like, oh, nope, it's not cool enough. It's not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it down.
And that definitely leave it there. Has to be impacting
right. And
their
I think that was
health.
Just kind of the beginning of what's really happened now. And so we haven't personally experienced that. But I had concerns then, and I addressed it with my kids and said, no. Right. This is not okay, you know? And I just didn't, you know, they didn't grow up with iPads when they were little or anything like that. I didn't really other than my oldest son, who is a gamer, I didn't really have to worry about monitoring screen time.
Right. I didn't feel that way either.
So,
but also, children are now getting onto screens, and that's where you're probably going, a lot earlier in life.
Yep.
Like my grandkids, when they were toddlers, had the tablet that just had the kiddie stuff on it, but, you know, in case you have to take them to a doctor, they need to be quiet in the car or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, the earlier that they're on screens and getting cell phones, has that age has changed.
And that's creating a path for them as they grow and develop. So when they're that little, they're probably watching interactive shows like Sesame Street type stuff.
Right.
Or playing games that are kind of learning games. But it's still screen time.
Right.
And it's still creating this path of, you know, what
a pattern
of,
and
absolutely.
Pattern
so,
of habits.
So some of the things that the author was saying, because it's like, okay, well, we know this is a problem, but what do we do?
Exactly. And I think we all know it's a problem.
Yeah.
Even those that don't have smaller, you know, small children in the house know it's a problem, or are even experiencing it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
Scrolling, that scrolling thing gets you.
Right.
And the algorithms and how they try to loop you back in. It's just.
And then they're on
the AI.
I mean, they were saying the average amount of time that kids are spending only on social media is 5 hours a day. Screen time, and overall, what, you know, things outside of social media, overall screen time is about 9 hours a day.
No, that's an average child.
Yes, that's like a whole work
shift.
Oh my
gosh, it is. So I'm wondering, does that include, because I'm pretty sure my grandsons are on computers during the day for school.
Probably.
It would have to include that. Yeah.
I would think so. But if you think about it, I mean, if they're getting out of school around 3 o'clock and they're going to bed, I mean, who knows? I don't know what bedtimes are anymore.
Like nine.
My kids used to go to like eight.
Yeah. 8, 9.
That's 5 hours. Yeah. They might take a break to eat dinner.
Yeah.
But how much of that's really being monitored? And here's the challenge that I think parents face when they do try to monitor or say, no, I'm not getting you a phone or an iPad or whatever it might be. But then all their friends still have, you know, so then they're the outcast. Yeah. So, you know, one of his suggestions was like, collectively, as parents, we need to do something about this together.
Yes.
Let's all, like, I mean, his suggestions were no phone before you're 16 years old. Okay. Here's where I'm like,
I know.
Yeah. I need to be able to be in touch with my kids. Yeah. You know, like when my daughter's at soccer practice or when she gets out of school, if I'm not there yet, I want to be able to text her or call her and say, hey, I'm not going
to
get there.
And my
in
grandson,
time.
I want to go like to my friend's house after school, just stuff like that. I'm like, oh, you need to call me. And so now he'll borrow somebody's phone. He's 12.
Right.
And he doesn't have a phone yet. And he'll have to call me from somebody else's phone. And,
so his suggestion for that was, 16. Okay, well, they don't need a smartphone.
Right.
Get them a flip phone.
Oh, but then you're not then cool.
Exactly. But that's why he's saying collectively, we all need to do this. We, you know, this is an epidemic.
It is.
We just had a pandemic and the world came together to figure out how to get through this.
Right.
As a whole.
Yes.
The same thing should happen for this. This is an
100%,
epidemic. 100%. We should come
together. And there was also something that was recently done, maybe within the last year or two, but collectively, everybody got together on opioid abuse. And there was like national broadcasts in the U.S. across every television station and radio station all simultaneously at the same time in an effort to help, you know, combat that epidemic.
Yeah.
So 100%, it can be done.
Absolutely.
But it's getting everybody to jump on board with it.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, if there's more awareness created around this, because I was actually talking to Paige about it, and she said, well, everybody knows it's a problem. Like, what?
Right.
So why is this a topic to share? And it's like, no, actually, not everyone knows. And maybe people do know, but they're like, well, what am I going to do about it?
Right.
You know?
Right. One person. And
so,
that,
And it takes awareness and people getting engaged and talking and sharing and finding ways to combat this. Because it is a problem.
It is a problem.
And I'm terrified for the future generation.
I was going to say, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Because of artificial intelligence now.
Exactly. That's another thing they touched on.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to, again, just skyrocket the levels that we're at now, you know, with that implementation as we move forward. And that is scary.
It's terrifying.
It is scary.
You know, just thinking about, you know, back to my childhood, and we didn't have computers. I think we had a computer, but it was... You know, there was no internet, you know.
Right.
And just like playing outside.
Yes.
And not having my parents sit there and watch me. Like there's so much of that now that we've created this fear of the world.
But it's a real thing. It's not.
It is a real thing.
It's a real thing. Especially for those who live in big cities like we do.
Absolutely.
Right.
Depending
we used to run around the neighborhood.
I totally agree with that, but I also think there's a level of independence that they should have.
Yes.
And yes, there needs to be a certain amount of fear to protect yourself and understand.
Stranger danger.
Be aware of your surroundings, that type of thing. But he also argued,
educating the children.
The childhood predators that were once out there when we were younger, watching kids on the playground and watching neighborhoods and things like that, they're not out. I mean, sure, I'm sure there's a few out there still. They're mostly online. They're targeting kids online because that's where kids are.
True.
So, you know,
To some extent. I still believe that there's a lot, you know, with the human trafficking and all of these crazy things that you hear about. And perhaps like me, I don't you know, dive too much into because it's just so horrific.
It is.
That it's difficult for me to, you know,
wrap your head around
wrap my head around it. And it just, you know, brings me down. And I just, you know, choose to ignore it, which is sad, until it affects you, right? And then all of a sudden you have this heightened
sense of awareness.
And again, it's
one of those things that's like, yeah, I know it's a problem, but what do I do about it?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But yeah, I just, I feel... again, I am so glad I don't have to, I'm not in a position where I really have to deal with this, but I feel like it's really important for parents to set the ground rules before their kids are of age to have phones or whatever it is. Like as far as playing on, you know, iPads and things like that, all that screen time, set the ground rules. This is when you'll get a phone.
Right.
Until then, this is what we're doing.
Right.
You will not have social media accounts until, and you know, unfortunately it's really easy. All you have to do is say, yes, I'm 13 and whatever. Lie about your birthday, whatever. It's so easy for them to create
to
that stuff.
Yes.
I do wish, I mean, I'm not a big fan of things being regulated to the point where we can't have freedom of speech, you know, but I do think there should be more authentication or authentication, I guess, when you have to go on and say, I'm not a robot, like that type of thing.
Right.
I think we need to have, you know, stricter guidelines on that.
Yes.
And
we're
really
so, in the U.S., we're so lagging
as
far as anything is to do with online, internet, social media.
It's, AI, all that.
Yeah, all of it. We're so far behind the eight ball on that. And unfortunately, it's going to impact us by this generation of young humans that are growing up right now.
It's,
You know, and even for those parents who are commendable and they do monitor screen time and social media accounts of their, you know, young children and things like that, it's still difficult. Like we were just talking about with the likes and different things that, you know, will impact them.
Well, and also the fact that, you know, they're going to have all these friends that are allowed to do all this stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, they're going to face those challenges again with like the bullying and being picked on and things like that. So, I mean, I commend parents that are doing everything they can to enforce it and regulate it. But yeah, it's a challenge. Find a balance.
And oftentimes I'm fortunate because I live in a cul-de-sac. So, and I have these little orange cones that I can set out, you know, and the kids can go in the cul-de-sac and they can, you know, not necessarily, well, the littler ones can ride their bicycles, but the older ones need to veer out of the cul-de-sac, but doing longboards and skateboards and scooters. And we, that's just things that we have at home. I don't have roller skates, but just anything like that.
Anything outside, physical, interacting.
To get some in the sun and exercise and all of that kind of stuff. And perhaps there is a space, a small space for some screen time, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And I know for me, it's always a challenge with my grandkids. And we sit down to eat and everybody brings their phones. And I make everybody put their phones away at the table.
Yeah.
And I've heard they have these lock boxes. My oldest daughter had bought one of these.
It's like a timer on it.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So there are ways, you know, and means and things that can assist in parents to help control it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good documentaries and information out there now outside of Google and the research, because even with that, you know, and with AI, they're just kind of serving you up kind of what you want to hear, right? Based upon your algorithms and stuff. But there are some movies, and I remember it's actually been a couple of years now, but I watched The Social Dilemma.
Which was really, really impactful. Yeah.
And basically, it's the tech experts from Silicon Valley that were sounding the alarm of the dangerous impact of social networking, which they use in an attempt to manipulate and influence. And what I found, which was so interesting to me, and, you know, they interviewed quite a few different individuals. You know, the guy from Facebook that invented the like button.
Oh.
Right? And, and they're talking about how everything was about monetization, monetization, monetization. And then they invented, like, the like button. And so it talks about him. And, you know, it just, it's, I highly recommend it. And again, it's The Social Dilemma. We're going to have links to everything in our description on the podcast. So, or on our website for easy access, but I highly recommend taking a look at it. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have young children in the house anymore or children at all, but it's really an eye-opener to what is happening. And what was most profound to me was at the very end of the episode or the show, and it's just a movie, it's not a series or anything, so it's a quick watch, but all of the people that they were interviewing that have created what we now know as our current social media,
right.
And this was a step back from AI, so to speak, but algorithms is kind of the same thing, but,
right.
But in any event, at the end of the movie, they were interviewing each one, and they asked them if they had children. None of them have their current positions anymore. So these high, like CEOs and, mm-hmm. you know, these major executives that
yeah.
created what we now know as, you know, current social media today. At the end, they asked them if they still work there, and none of them still had those positions. They asked them if they had children. I believe all of them had children. And then they asked them if they let them use social media or if they would
yeah.
allow them
yeah.
to use social media. And the answer was no.
Yeah.
Like, they put this out there to alert parents. And there yeah. is actually something online where you can sign up,
mm-hmm.
You know, as to your point, to, you know, create that, you know,
right.
community of
yeah.
people to, you know, put a stop to everything.
Right.
And, but that's something that I think everyone
should see. It's interesting you brought that up about them not wanting their kids to be on social media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This author, he's also as I said, a professor at NYU, and he does a lot of, he goes around and talks to a lot of kids in like middle age, college age, all different age groups.
Right.
And one of the questions he asks all of them, if social media was not accessible to you until you were 18 years old, to any kid, not
right.
just you, but
right.
any kid at all, would you agree with that? Would you think that would be a good enforcement? And he's never had anyone say no. Every kid,
wow.
even middle school kids, have said, yes, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. Because of the anxiety it's creating
Absolutely.
For them. And if they're that young and can see how it's impacting their lives.
Yeah, the competition that they have out there, you know, comparing themselves to what so-and-so's posted and what they're doing. I mean,
the
I remember my kids talking about
image, self-image.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's just
I remember
crushing.
My kids talking about, oh, my friend, he's in Bora Bora right now,
yes.
or and he's so rich, he always gets to go to these great. He has this beautiful house, and I'm like, what friend is this? Oh, it's someone I follow on social media. I'm like, they're your friend? Do you talk to them?
I know.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I always.
You don't even
yeah,
know
I thought
who
that
they
too.
Are.
Yeah.
You follow
my friends.
Them,
yes.
And they're making
yes.
their life look a certain way.
Yes.
You don't even know if it's real.
Right.
You don't even know if it's real.
Right. Right.
So it's just, it's mind blowing.
It
and people, kids are comparing themselves to that
what they
type
see
of
on
stuff.
Social media.
Yeah.
And I guess to your point, like you were talking about when we were kids in television and they said television was going to ruin, you know,
right.
the generation. and for me too, I remember music, like rock and roll,
yes.
right? That
AC/DC.
Was the big thing. Yeah. All even
Ozzy
Elvis.
Osbourne.
Remember it
oh,
started
gosh,
back with
yes,
Elvis and how corrupting that was
yeah.
to, you know,
Little
young
Richard.
Minds. And clearly we turned out okay.
Right.
But I think this is a whole different level.
It
this is.
Is
a whole different ballgame that we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember watching excessive amounts of TV. I liked to be outside and doing things. Right. I was very active growing up. But I just, yes, there's a level of seeing things on TV and going, wow, that would be
right, like the great models life and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just so
And then
different.
The photo airbrushing of models and stuff. Remember when that all came out and you're just like, well, anybody could look like that if...
Yeah, if you're airbrushed.
Exactly. So we had our toes dipped into the water, but it's nothing. Like you said, this is an epidemic.
And it's out of control. So, yeah, I mean, there definitely has to be some kind of regulation to this. It's just gotten out of control. And I think, for me personally, I think a lot of people are just, it's very terrifying to think about what this generation, whether it's early 20s, high school, and younger, what is going to come of that. Right. And it's really sad and scary to me to think about 12-year-old girls having bouts of anxiety or depression or being suicidal.
I was just going to say being suicidal,
yes. They should be kids having fun. And I get that it's always been there, but it's so big now. Yeah. It's so much more accessible.
Epidemic proportions.
Absolutely.
And it's going to impact our future generation.
Yes.
So the next generation and what happens in the world. And also what I'm finding is... with the lack of exercise, the lack of motivation that they have to do anything outside of being on a screen, including schoolwork or thinking about their future and perhaps what they would like to do with their future.
Right.
All kinds of things like that. There's like, I feel like there's zero motivation and inspiration for the younger generation right now, that'll help them in their more formative years.
Right.
Moving forward, this cannot be a good thing.
No, I don't think it is. It's like I said, it's terrifying. And I do hope that, I mean, I would love if there's some kind of support group or petition or anything. I would love to be a
there
part
is,
of it.
If you, yeah, the Social Dilemma, go to thesocialdilemma.com and look for a petition on there. I haven't been on there. It's been years.
Okay.
In the beginning, I was getting some emails and different communication. And if I'm not mistaken, there was actually like something that you could download, a PDF that you can download of things to do. So I would definitely say start there and let's sign up there. There because that's exactly what it was designed to do.
Yeah.
And it's been out there for a few years, but also help spread the word. You know, talk to parents of your children's friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to the schools, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends about
it. That was one thing that they mentioned too, is he said there shouldn't be phones in schools.
Yeah.
Which I agree with. Yeah, if they keep it in their bag so that after school, if they need to call for their ride, whatever it might be,
How many children have the control, the self-control to sit there all day?
But it shouldn't
and
be allowed
not,
in the classroom.
I know. No,
like,
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Like, if they have it in their backpack, I feel that most children don't have the self-control to not pull it out of their backpack.
Yeah.
Oh, let's check messages.
I think, though, as time goes, if it's something that is put in place, yes, it might take a year or two, but at some point... The kids are going to be so used to nobody else has their phone.
Exactly.
They're going to be so used to it. Like, no, we don't use our phones in class. We're not allowed to, you know.
Right.
Initially, yes, it's going to be challenging because it's been allowed.
Right.
There's not, you know, I do remember my kids, if they got caught on their phone in class, they would get it taken away and they'd have to go to the office and get their phone for them and that. But it's just,
like no
I
chewing
don't
gum.
Think
I mean, it's not
I
the
know,
same
I
thing,
know.
But...
But it's just, I don't think it's
just putting the
enough.
Rules, in
and,
place.
And if you put them in place now, in a few years, it's just going to be accepted.
Right.
Because that's just the way, that's how it is. That's how it works.
So maybe that's a good place to start, is with your local schools and their school districts.
Right.
And,
they
you know, petitioning
meetings
them.
Meetings all the time that parents are allowed to go to.
That's true.
This is stuff that should be addressed.
It's kind of sad, and I'm probably the biggest... I'm raising my hand. I'm probably the biggest one who might say something about it, but actually to show up at a meeting and take that time out. I mean, you kind of have to have a level of devotion there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? Because everybody's lives are so busy. You know, you work all day, perhaps. I think most people work, you know, full-time jobs now. And especially if you do have children, then you have to deal with that. By the time dinner and bedtime, bath and stuff is over.
And all that,
sports or any extracurricular activities, you're exhausted. But I think that it is something that is super important that we do need to take a stand now and carve out that time and make it a priority and show up to those meetings.
Absolutely. I mean, it's start the future petitions of our children, you know, it's something that should be important to parents. And I mean, we, you know, we enforce a lot of rules within our home on other things and, you know, school and things like that. There's no reason that this can't be addressed the same way.
Right.
And, you know, you do all that because you care about your kids and you want them to be safe and you want them to make good choices. This shouldn't be any different.
Exactly. 100%. And discipline. And it's about,
self-control.
Right. Right.
And quite honestly, their mental state.
The mental state. Because if your children are having issues, I guarantee you, you're having issues too.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's a uphill battle here. So let's nip it while we can. Well, they're young and you still have control and you're able to instill habits and, you know, learn how to manage their time. Like, oh, it's in perhaps...
Productively.
Perhaps
even
it's
if
okay
it playing outside,
if you're on social media, but you have a specific limited period of time. And most phone carriers, mobile carriers now, the major ones, allow parental controls.
Right.
So that, you can monitor how much time they have, at least on that particular device, and perhaps multi-devices. I'm not as techie as I should be, but I'm sure at least the phones and perhaps, you know, all screens.
And there's things that you can look into like that to figure out how to...
Put timers on it or, you know, say, okay, and sure, you can be on your phone and... You know, you have 1 hour or whatever that, you know, perhaps allotted
time
is. But
also monitor what they're doing on there.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's okay for
because
them to
predators
have
are
some
there.
Screen time. But also, like, what are they saying to other people? What are people saying to them? Are they bullying? And you don't even know about it.
Right.
What are they seeing? What are they reading?
Yeah.
You know? It's just, there's some really...
Inappropriate
really
content
terrible stuff
out there.
And even just... false information.
So
you know?
Much so. And we don't know what to believe and what is true. And
absolutely.
Especially with AI and all
we're
of this fake news
and
all that.
It's hard for us to figure out.
I don't think, now I'm kind of skeptical of anything anymore, Like to believe it, that anything is true. And I might need a little bit more than, you know, what I'm seeing to back that up. And usually I'll end up starting to research
go
something.
Go down a rabbit hole.
Yes. If it piques my interest at all. But for young, you know, minds to have that know-how, they don't know what's true and what's not true. And
One of the funny things that my kids like to tease me about, it was just, you know, something I always said to them. They would, you know, share information with me, and I would say, really? How do you know that?
Yeah.
How, like, that's true?
Right.
And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, well, where did you see it? On the internet. And I said, oh, well, then it must be true.
I know. That's my favorite thing to say. And sadly enough, not just for my children and grandchildren, but friends too, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, you heard,
oh, it's on the internet. Well, then it's true.
Right. Well, that's what the algorithms are serving up to you. Because the funny thing is I'm getting the exact opposite information. So it's a scary place out there. But I'm really glad that you brought this topic up because I do believe it's something that we are in crisis of right now.
Yeah, and those of us middle-aged still raising kids, it's affecting us. And we need to know what we can do about it and how to do it and how to get support doing it.
And even if you don't have children and you're finding yourself very anxious or stressed or what have you,
same thing
start,
for adults.
Yeah, start regulating and monitoring how much time you're spending on screens and make some changes, some positive changes. Maybe, you know, plant a garden or not really, but, you know, maybe get your hands in the dirt or go for a walk. Or
I mean, I've mentioned my 28-year-old son doesn't even have social media.
Yeah.
Because he recognized the amount of anxiety it gave him and the amount of unproductive time he was spending on there and was just like, I don't need this. I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
And that's very admirable for somebody that age because most people his age... are spending a lot of time on there.
They are.
Fortunately, I mean, I think your kids are kind of the same. They just don't really spend a lot of time on there.
And we're fortunate for that.
My kids will post.
But my grandkids.
My younger kids will post here and there. But that's about it. They don't feed into any other BS.
Right.
If people.
Right.
And I don't think they're kind of beyond the age of being bullied by people just for, simple posts and things like that. But yeah, it's really scary. And again, even for adults, it can affect us as well. So
yeah, 100%. And we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on the subject? And have you had these issues within your own circle, household circle life? And how are you dealing with it? And do you want to jump on the bandwagon and, help support initiatives to help combat this before it goes to that next level and gets completely out of control?
Right.
Let us hear from you. And that just about wraps it up for today. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. Embrace the change.
Join the conversation on our website at letstalkmidlifecrisis.com or our Facebook or Instagram and YouTube channels. We'd love to hear from you guys.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.